today on Real Radio.
If you're a Christian today and you're loving on the Lord and walking with him and it seems like everything's flying apart at the seams and God's not telling you anything that's wrong, you're in a fiery trial designed by God to make you grow. And that's a good thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God to the Rescue, Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us as we go through the compelling Book of Isaiah. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. Isaiah, by the way, is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 10, we learned that even when things look hopeless, God is always on time and coming to the rescue. Judah was suffering under godless leadership during this time. It was a very dark situation where those in power were leading the people towards poverty and corruption. And now in part 2, the Lord is warning the people of Judah and Israel about the fact that good people will suffer under bad leadership. God always keeps his word. He promised to restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, and he keeps his promises. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that we really need to trust God in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. The burden is on his shoulders. When we turn and follow him, God will bring down those things that come against us. We can't mess up beyond his love, that's the truth. And some of the trials that come into our lives are designed by God to help us grow. And now continuing his lesson called God to the Rescue, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Quickly, on May 14th, 1948, the United States stood alone and supported David Ben-Gurion's newborn government declaring the rebirth of the nation Israel in one day. And when asked what would the new nation's name be, Ben-Gurion announced that it would be Israel after its biblical name in the Bible from ancient times. Well, on July 14th last week, 2015, America made history again when the President of the United States led Israel's arch enemy, Persia, into the nuclear age single-handedly. You see, so what? Everybody should have a right to nuclear power. Yeah, unless your doctrine of your nation and your voice shouting on YouTube and everything else says, as soon as we can, we're going to destroy Israel and push them into the Mediterranean and wipe them off the face of the map. I wouldn't give a Twinkie or a Snickers bar to somebody that's doing that kind of chant. They could weaponize the thing. That is insane. Amazing time. America started out based on God. America was a haven for the dispersed Jew in all the world. In the Zionist movement, America was like a big brother to the birth of the nation of Israel. And President Truman stood against the forces of the world and was there for Israel on her birthday on May 14, 1948. Did you know since then, ladies and gentlemen, the United States hasn't won a war since then? Have you ever thought about that? We have the most powerful military on the face of the earth, but we haven't won a war since World War II. I think it's because we have forgotten God. This nation has slowly, systematically withdrawn its support from Israel until we were sitting here tonight, a friend of Iran and an enemy to Israel. I believe God is going to shake this country, waiting for the Christians to cry out. He's not expecting Congress to cry out. He wants the Christians to cry out. If there's any hope for this nation, it's going to be in this house, and it's going to be in other houses of worship. This is the word of God. I'm not making it up. God wants to hear from his people. Verse 13, for he says, that is the Assyrian. And by the way, all leaders with big mouths, listen to this. Man, listen carefully. You just have to think of your own country, what I'm about to read here. So the Assyrian says, by the strength of my hand, I've done it. And by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and also I have removed the boundaries of the people. I have robbed their treasury. So I hear all these eyes. I, me, my government, my administration, my power. So I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. Verse 14, my hand has found like the nest of the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left. I mean, I just went around, the Assyrian says, I just bowled over nations like they were taking eggs from a nest. I have gathered all the earth, and there is no one who moved his wing nor opened his mouth even a peep. He's bragging, I'm so bad. And God hears this. God hears this. God hears the leaders who strut about and boast. Nebuchadnezzar, remember him? Is this not the great Babylon that I've built? What did God? Oh, God heard that. What was that? You know, Nebuchadnezzar, is this not the great Babylon that I have built? That's how it sounded on earth. In heaven, it's like this. Is this not the big Babylon I have? God goes, what? Gabriel, Michael, what is that screeching sound? Oh, that's Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of the world. He's bragging about how he's built his empire. I thought I gave that to him. The Bible says God's the one who sets up kings and brings kings down. By the way, God uses humans to do that. He uses nations to do that. Isn't that eerie? And so this is God's response to the proud bloodlust of the Assyrians. Look at verse 15. This is actually, if it wasn't so sad, it's kind of funny. God says, shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Who's stronger, the axe or the guy that's swinging the axe? Isn't it funny? Does the axe sit there and go, hey, look at the tree I just cut down? No. Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? Can you imagine? Listen, a piano is worthless unless there's a master playing the piano. No piano. It's funny. No violin jumped off away from the player and said, hey, I want more respect around here. As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or as if a staff could lift up as it were not wood? Verse 16, therefore the Lord of hosts, will send leanness among his fat ones. That is, the Assyrians are going to get judged. I'm going to deal with them, he says. And under his glory, he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. So the light of Israel will be for a fire and his holy one for a flame. It will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. Verse 18, and it will consume the glory of his, that is the Assyrian, Assyria's forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they, that is Assyrians, will be as when a sick man wastes away. God is saying, I'm going to deal with him. The guy crossed the line. That nation crossed the line by going after to destroy my people. What do you think God is thinking right now about Iran? Think about it. Now, the Persian people, I know some Persian people, and they're wonderful. By the way, there's a lot of Christians in Persia. It's leadership. It's crazy. And God's not watching. God's watching. He's watching America. He's watching Canada. He's watching Jordan. He's watching Lebanon. He's watching Israel. He's watching Persia. He's watching Iraq. God is watching. He's watching. And I told you before, 3,000 years ago, and it's going to happen prophetically, Jesus said in Matthew 25, it's all about how you treat Israel, God says. That's why Israel is such a big deal. God's focused on it. It's like Israel's a test paper. It's like a, what's the paper called that you dip in the chemicals? Litmus test. He's testing the world with Israel. And some people just, they hear the name Israel, they just like foam at the mouth, freak out, spit green soup out of their mouth, spin, head spins around. I mean, it's like, what? That's a sign. There's your sign. It's a spiritual issue, man. Verse 19 says, and the rest of the trees of his forest will be so few in number that a child may write them down. A kid can count them. But listen, here's God to the rescue. It shall come to pass, here's that word again, in that day, that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped from the house or of the house of Jacob. Now watch this. This is not only true back then when God restored them, but it's true for the future that is to come. Will never again depend on him who defeated them. Israel's not going to be dependent upon anybody someday, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. In truth, the remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. Wow. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts, that is the Lord God of armies, heaven's armies, will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Verse 24, therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of armies. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? That's what it means. The Lord God of his armies. God's got his armies in heaven. They're angels. Oh, my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. Man, you can read about that. That's Israel was being threatened by these... Oreb and Zeb, these wicked kings, and the nation cries out to God, God help us, we're doomed, we're doomed. And listen, Israel was terrified, they didn't know what to do. The enemy armies went to sleep that night. Israel just sat up and bit their fingernails all night and cried out to God. And in the morning when Israel, when the daylight came, they start looking, right? Have you ever been anticipating something in the morning like that? And you're just waiting. What do you see? And they're looking. And the Bible says that one angel left the presence of the Lord and went into the camp of the Assyrian army and killed 185,000 men in one night. One angel. One angel. How did that happen? I don't know. One angel. And God is telling them, Israel, don't panic. Turn to me. I'll take care of you. And oh, by the way, you ought to know your history, Israel. Just like it was with Oreb and Zeb in the Midian battle, I'll take care of it. Isn't God saying that to us tonight about things? Yeah, are you worrying about anything tonight? Are you concerned about something? God says, I'll take care of that. Do we really, listen, if we can't believe him for the mortgage payment or that health issue or for that relationship issue, if we can't trust him and leave it in his hands, really? Do we really think we're trusting him with our eternal life on the day that we're going to die? You worried all your life about God not showing up to your test in school or at this issue at the job, and then you expect him to save you? I mean, he will save you if you, but the thing is, why are you sweating that stuff? Are you not trusting him with your eternal life? You know, when you breathe your last breath, you're going to cross over through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, that's fine, but I'm just worried about that. I don't know where I'm going to get $20 to pay that phone bill. Well, Lord willing, you won't have a phone, so you have some peace of mind these days, you know. Yeah. He goes on, verse 26 keeps going. As his rod was on the sea, so he will lift up the manner of Egypt. Verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Verse 28, he has come to Arath and he has passed Migron. At Michmash, he has attended to his equipment. This goes down to the devastation of the Assyrian army. Skipping down to verse 33. Behold, the Lord of hosts will lop off the bow with terror. Those of high stature will be hewn down, and the haughty will be humbled. Verse 34, he will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. And so it's absolutely possible tonight, Christian, that you've got issues going on in your life, and God is saying, listen, here's the deal. And I want to end with this. The Bible tells us, you can read it later, we don't have the time to go through it, in Hebrews chapter 12 and James chapter 1, I'll just paraphrase. In your life, in my life, if you're a Christian tonight, in Hebrews 12, James 1, in Hebrews 12, God says to us who are Christians tonight, has my hand been upon you? Has my hand been stretched out against you because you're my child and you've been goofing up? If you're a Christian tonight and you haven't been walking with God, have you noticed how rough it is to live? When you're separated from God, you're a child of God, but you're living in sin. And God, you're his child, but his hand is stretched out against you and discipline. He's disciplining you. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that God only does that to his children. He will never discipline a kid that's not his. If in your life there's been rebellion and it's heavy on you, God is maybe saying to you tonight, my hand is stretched out. I'm judging you with hopes that you'll turn so that you'd come back. So tonight, listen, if you're resisting God, he's been inviting you to go deeper. He's been inviting you to walk closer. He's been asking you to get away from that stuff, and you haven't done it. God's hand is heavy on you. The Bible says the way of the backslider is hard. So you let that marinate in your heart right now. What about the others here tonight? Maybe God is saying to the rest of us, perhaps, James chapter 1, that the difficulties that we're going through right now, it has nothing to do with our rebellion against God. We're walking with God, but we're having difficulty. We're having trials. Anybody have a trial going on in their life? You say, what does that happen? I thought God loved me. He absolutely loves you. Listen, a trial is way different than him disciplining you. A trial, listen, the hardships of life, difficulty. A trial is, you're doing everything just fine. You're walking with God, and you go to work and you get fired. And you search all the bases. You search, what did I do wrong? You talk to your boss, why did you fire me? I don't like the way you look. Listen, did something happen in your life? And it's like, Lord, I'm walking with you. We're making a fundamental mistake in thinking that because something bad happened in our lives that somehow we've messed up and God doesn't like us anymore. Are you kidding me? Listen, you can be so absolutely tight with God and the roof fall in on your head. What's happening? Your life is being used as a Christian. Your neighbors are watching how you respond to the roof falling in on your head. Well, that doesn't seem fair. God never promised fair. So if you're resisting God and you're a Christian, stop now. Repent, get right with God. If you're a Christian today and you're loving on the Lord and walking with him and it seems like everything's flying apart at the seams and God's not telling you anything that's wrong, you're in a fiery trial designed by God to make you grow. And that's a good thing. This is how it happens. This is how it works. You want to get close to God? You want to follow the Lord? Put on your helmet. Well, I don't want it like that. Well, then go backslide and go be a nincompoop. And it's terrible. That song that we used to sing, or when, better is one day, better what? Better is one day in your house. Whatever that song is, it's a great. In other words, it's better to be with God in all that than be in the world and enjoy for a season sin that's pleasurable for just a season. Walk with God, you'll never regret it. Father, this lesson rings in the ears of our nation tonight. We've got incredibly ridiculous decrees being made. We've got lunacy being decided, laws being made that are just not sane, remarkable things. And yet it's come down to this hour for us as believers to stay hanging on to you, to stand, and then having done all to stand, we stand therefore, suited up in the armament of God. And Father, for the man or woman, boy and girl tonight that is not walking with you, they know you, they're yours, but they're not walking with you, that right now they would square that away with you once and for all in this late hour. And for those of us who are walking with you but going through difficult times, may we not squirm, wiggle, or jump out from underneath the test. But after we have come through this fiery trial, that we'd be made more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Church, let's stand and thank our God and give him praise and worship tonight from a sacrificial heart to bless him now in Jesus'
name. Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God to the Rescue, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. And when hardships do come your way, let's stop trusting in people, because it's God who will come to our rescue. He is the only answer to all of our troubles. God to the Rescue, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you've recently given your heart to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've rededicated your life to the Lord, or you just really need to understand just what it means to be saved, we've got some information that we'd love to pass along to you. It's the Know God tab at our website. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. And you can find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or you can access the information through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. That tab called Know God at our website will give you insight into how much God loves you and that none of us are here by accident. But the truth is, our sin has separated us from God, and sin simply means our failure to measure up to God's holiness and standards. That's why God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, providing a way for us to have a personal relationship with him. That Know God tab also tells you exactly what your commitment of faith involves and provides a way to receive more information to help you grow spiritually. All you got to do is give us your email address and we'll get that out to you. Again, it's called the Know God tab, and you'll find it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, be sure to download our Real Life mobile app and access the Know God tab right there through your mobile device. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.